Sounded like it. All right. Revelation chapter 21, please. We're going to start reading in verse 1. Revelation chapter 21. The Bible says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of the heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and the murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." And the title this morning is, "Behold, I Make All Things New." Behold, I make all things new. Lord, bless your word today. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. I pray that he would help us. I pray that we would honor and glorify your Son, Jesus Christ. God, that we'd draw closer to you and be what you'd have us to be. Touch those who need physically touched today. But Lord, most of all, help us spiritually. We ask these things in his name, in the name of Jesus Christ, and amen. What does the future hold for the believer? What does the future hold for the believer? And I'll come here this morning knowing and have to admit that even I sometimes have had, and most Christian people, I think, have an unbiblical view of the future. They have an unbiblical view of the future. By that, I mean a lot of folks think that Christians will be up in heaven, floating around on a cloud, playing a harp. A lot of people have that idea. And I admit that the Bible was sometimes hard to understand concerning eschatology. Eschatology is just a big fancy word, means the study of last things. And sometimes the Bible is hard to understand about the last things. And I know some folks think that they understand it all perfectly. And there's a lot of disagreement about the details. But there's a lot of folks, they've got it all mapped out and they've got it all figured out. And I have to admit to you this morning, I do not have it all figured out. I tend to agree with what Spurgeon said on this point. He said, "The more I read the scriptures as to the future, the less I am able to dogmatize. I see conversion of the world and the personal pre-millennial reign and the sudden coming and the judgment and several other grand points, but I cannot put them into order, nor has anyone else done so yet." So he was just admitting that there's some things here it's hard to figure out. And I'll admit to you the same thing. But I believe right now that the Bible teaches that as we speak, that the believers who have died are in heaven. They're in heaven. I believe that. The Bible clearly states to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And the Bible says that God dwells in heaven. In Psalm 123 it says, "Unto thee lift up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens." That's where the Lord dwells, in heaven. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, "After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." 2 Corinthians 5:8 says, "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." The Bible tells us that we groan in this earthly tabernacle now, this earthly body. Most of us here are at the age where we talk about our aches and pains and all of the problems we're having physically in these bodies. This is a sin-cursed body. It's a sin-cursed body, and this body is destined to die. It's destined to die. But one day the dead in Christ will get their resurrection bodies. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51 says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." We're all going to get changed one of these days. We're going to get another body. If you hold your place there in Revelation and look over at 1 Thessalonians, please. 1 Thessalonians. And we want to look at chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The Bible tells us here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren." Verse 13. "I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." I'm in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14. "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Those are comforting words, aren't they?
Yes.
The Bible tells us here he's going to change our vile bodies into his glorious, a type of, like his glorious body. His glorified body, Jesus could eat. He could be touched. One day Christians are going to have a glorified physical body. They're going to have a glorified physical body, and we're going to live in a physical place. That's important you understand that. We're going to live in a physical place. And hopefully this passage that we're getting ready to look at here in Revelation chapter 21 will give us a little bit of insight into that this morning. Now, if these last several chapters of the book of Revelation are in chronological order, in other words, if the events are in chronological order, there's going to be some things that's going to take place before the new heaven and the new earth and this new city. There's going to be some things take place. Number one, it's going to be after the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's going to be after the battle of Armageddon. It's going to be after the millennial reign. It's going to be after the loosing of Satan in his final rebellion. And he's going to be finally cast in the lake of fire forever. It's going to be after that. It's going to be after the final judgment. If you look down at turn back a page to verse 11 of chapter 20. "And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The portion that we've read here in chapter 21 is after all that. It's after all that. So I want to talk first of all about the first heaven and earth passing away. The first heaven and earth pass away. Notice what it says in chapter 21 and verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Everything you see here is going to go away. Everything that man is scrambling and stabbing each other in the back for and killing themselves to get is all going to go away. I don't mean to depress you, but that's just the facts. It's all going to go away. 2 Peter 3 says this, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. I'm just trying to tell you today, God destroyed this world one time with water, didn't he? Amen. In the book of Genesis, you can read about that. God destroyed this earth with water. Well, the next time he's going to destroy it with fire. He's going to destroy it with fire. And by the way, that rainbow is a token of that God is not going to destroy the earth with water again. Amen. It's not a sign of celebrating a deviant lifestyle. Amen. But he's going to destroy this earth again. He's going to purge everything you see with fire. He's going to purge it all with fire. Secondly, I want to tell you today that God is preparing a city. God is preparing a city. Look at verse 2 in chapter 21 of Revelation. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 10, For he, Abraham, looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham was looking for this city. You and I ought to be looking for this city. Hebrews 11:16 says, but now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. God has prepared for us a city. We're looking for a city, aren't we? Hebrews 13:14 says, for here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. We're looking for a city. I hope that's your attitude this morning. You're looking for a city. The New Jerusalem. Notice what it says here in chapter 21. It says, be prepared, in verse 2, be prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And he goes down, I can't take the time to read it this morning, but he describes what this is going to be like in verses 11 on down through there to verse 26. He talks about what this city looks like. I'll just say a little bit about it, but I'll tell you this, it's an extremely large city. It's an extremely large city. I got to thinking about that. If you do the math, it comes out to about 1,400 miles square. Well, I thought about that. I thought, well, how far is it out west? If I went 1,400 miles west, where would that land me? if I left Charleston, West Virginia, headed west, where would I go? 1,400 miles. Well, it lands me in about Denver, Colorado. So you're talking about a city. It's from here to Denver, Colorado, and it's square. That, yeah, it's four square. That's a big city, isn't it? That's a big city. It's as wide and high as it is long. And it's going to, the Bible says it's going to be surrounded by a wall that's over 200 feet tall. Now, Trump couldn't build the wall, but God's going to manage, amen? And God is going to build a wall that's 200 feet tall. And it's going to have 12 foundations and 12 gates, and every one of those gates is going to be made out of a single pearl. I'd just like to see the size of that oyster. Okay. And the street will be made of pure gold, the Bible says. So it's going to be an unbelievable city, isn't it? But it has to be big, because it's going to be a lot of people there, isn't it? It's going to be a lot of people there. The Bible says there'll be no temple there because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple thereof. There'll be no temple there. And the Bible says there'll be no night there because the glory of God will lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. So, number one, this earth, everything you see here, is going to pass away. Amen. It's all going to burn up. It's all going to burn up. And then secondly, God is preparing a city. Number three, the Bible tells us that God will dwell with his people. Number three, God will dwell with his people. Look at verse 3 of chapter 21. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Matthew Henry said, the presence of God with his people in heaven will not be interrupted as it is on earth, but he will dwell with them continually. He will dwell with us continually. Could it be, I thought about that, I thought, could it be that our God will walk in the cool of the garden as he did with Adam and Eve? Will he do that with us as he did with them before the fall? The Bible says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. God is going to dwell with us one of these days. I know he dwells in your heart now, but that's not the same. I've told you it's going to be a physical thing. He's going to dwell with his people. He's going to dwell with his people. So, number one, the first heaven and earth are going to pass away. Number two, God's preparing us a city. He's preparing us a city. And number three, God's going to dwell with his people. Number four, former things will be passed away. Former things will be passed away. Verse four, and God, this is another unbelievable thought, but the Bible says it. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. There's going to be some things missing in this new place we're going to, in our final dwelling place. There's going to be some things missing, and we won't miss them, by the way. We'll be glad they're gone. The former things are passed away. The Bible says there'll be no more sea. I kind of like the ocean. I don't know what that means exactly, but if God says it's best we don't have one, then if that's what that means literally, that's the way it's going to be. There'll be no more sea. There'll be no more death. There'll be no more death. Aren't you glad for that? No more caskets. No more morticians. No more death. No more obituaries. No more graveyards. No more death. Death's an awful thing, isn't it? It's a very difficult thing to get past the loss of a loved one sometimes, isn't it? That's a difficult thing. Well, I'm happy to report to you that in that time there'll be no more death. There'll be no more death. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more crying. There'll be no more pain. Some people live in constant pain, don't they? We're going to a place there'll be no more pain. There'll be no more curse. And there'll be no more night, the Bible tells us. And all that is in this chapter we're reading. Verse 4 of chapter 21. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. I'm glad I'm going to a place where those things aren't there. Amen. They're not there. Number 5, everything will be new. Everything will be new. Notice what it says in verse 5. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. I'm just trying to tell you today, if I can put it this way, you can take this to the bank. He's going to make all things new. He's going to make all things new. But I want you again to think about when this will be. When this will be. Matthew Henry again, he said, These words are faithful and true, and it follows, It is done is as sure as if it were done already. In other words, you just believe it. You believe it. If he says he's going to make all things new, he's going to make all things new. When is this going to happen? Well, again, in my mind, these things must happen after the tribulation, after the Lord's second coming, after the millennial kingdom, after the final rebellion, after the final judgment of Satan, and after the final judgment. This is when all this is going to happen. And the new earth will be free from sin. It'll be free from sin. We're living in a fallen world, and every day it gets worse. It gets worse. But one of these days, there'll be no sin. There'll be no sin. There'll be no evil. There's a lot of evil people in this world, aren't there? There's people that just scheme to hurt others and desire to hurt others. There'll be none of that one of these days. There'll be no sickness. How many of us have went to the hospital and watched people languishing in the hospital beds with sickness? There'll be no more suffering. There'll be no more suffering. There'll be no hunger. There'll be no pain. I really think that this new heaven and new earth will be similar to what we're living on now, but without the curse. Amen. I think it'll be similar. It's hard for us to imagine because it's been cursed so long. But who could imagine what it looked like when God first created it? We see little glimpses of it when we take a walk in the forest or go see some great majestic state park or national park. We see some of the glimpses of what beauty heaven could have. But I'm telling you, that don't hold a candle. The little bit of stuff we see here on this fallen world don't hold a candle to what it's going to be like one of these days. The new earth, I remember they had a picture and they had notched out this tree. Maybe some of y'all have seen this. And they were sitting in the notch of that tree eating lunch. Not only were they sitting at the notch eating lunch, they were sitting at a table. Now that's a big treat. Imagine, unspoiled by man, what heaven's going to be like. What this heaven, when I say heaven, I mean this new earth, is going to be like. Again, heaven doesn't mean we're going to be, you watch too many Looney Tune cartoons, folks. Heaven don't mean you're going to be floating around on a cloud playing a harp. Amen. That wouldn't be much fun anyway, I don't think. But I'm telling you, heaven is a real place. Amen. When I say heaven, I mean this new city, this new Jerusalem that He's going to make for us. It's a real place. It's a prepared place. Amen. It's a prepared place. It'll be free from all these things. I think it'll be a lot like the Garden of Eden. It'll be like the Garden of Eden. And with beautiful, it'll be spotless, crime-free. Crime-free. God will make all things new. And those are faithful and true words. God will make all things new. Crime, we're fighting crime like crazy, aren't we, in this nation? I mean, it's just, it's rampant. Crime is rampant. It used to be, we would go places when I was a kid. We would leave my dad would leave the front door unlocked and the back door unlocked. And if you still do that, then don't tell anybody. But we'd leave the front door unlocked and the back door unlocked. And when we got where we was going, we'd leave the keys in the car. You can't do that today. Evelyn was in the Goodwill at Canal City yesterday, or day before yesterday, whatever day it was, and they caught a woman in there shoplifting. I told Evelyn, I said, well, if I was going to shoplift, I wouldn't shoplift at the Goodwill. Amen. But crime, there's a lot of crime in there. A lot of crime, a lot of violence. I wonder sometimes if it's not going to get like it was before the days of Noah. Where violence just fills the earth. I believe the new heavens and the new earth is going to be the eternal home for the believer. Isaiah 65 verse 17 says, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind." The former things are going to pass away, aren't they? Number 6, the blessing of the saints and the doom of the sinner. The blessing of the saints and the doom of the sinner. Verse 6 says, "And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." I want to tell you that true Christianity is an overcoming religion. True Christianity is an overcoming religion. I want to remind you today that there is a city of God. There is a city of God. But I also want to remind you, there is a lake of fire. There is a lake of fire. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 11, "He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." Look at chapter 20 and verse 11. "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." Do you understand what that verse means? Our God is so big, He's so majestic, He's so holy, that when He's on the throne, the earth and the heaven can't even get away from they'd like to, but they can't get away from Him. They can't get away from Him. The Bible tells us here in verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Christianity is an overcoming religion. It's an overcoming religion. Let me read that to you again. He that overcometh, verse 7 of chapter 21, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Well, who is this that overcomes? Well, I'm glad you asked. 1 John chapter 5 says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God.
Amen.
So the question this morning, I don't know about you, but I want to go there. I want to go there. I know when people say heaven, they really mean what I've told you about today. We're going to heaven when we die, but one of these days we're going here. We're going to this new city. We're going to this new earth and the new heavens. The question is, have you been born again? That's the question. Again, the Apostle John said, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. You have to be born again, don't you? Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. You have to be born again. Is your faith in Christ? If your faith's in anything else, you're not going to make it. Let me say that again. If your faith is in anything, if you're trusting anything else besides Jesus Christ, you're not going to make it. Don't do that. Don't trust anything or anybody but Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's the only way to get there, isn't it?
Yes.
He's the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by him. He's the only way, isn't he? He's the only way. So, the Bible says, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Is your faith in Christ? Is your faith in Christ? Are you clinging to him? Is he what you've got? Listen, if you're looking to anything else, it's not going to work out, folks. It's not going to work out. The hymn writer said it right when he said, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. There's nothing else but trusting him. You can cast your soul at his feet. Amen. You can trust him to save you. Has there ever been a time where you thirsted for the living water? Have there ever been a time you thirsted for the living water? He's the only one that can satisfy. This world can't satisfy. People think this world can make them happy. They're not happy. If you just think getting all you can get in this world is going to make you happy, you're not very smart. You can look around and see people that got all kinds of stuff and they're still not happy. The only joy comes from knowing Jesus Christ, isn't it? The only joy comes from knowing when you lay your head down at night, if something were to happen to you, you'd be with the Lord. That's peace, isn't it? Knowing that you would be with him. He's the only one that can satisfy the longing of the heart. People try to fill it up with everything, don't they? They fill it up with drugs. They fill it up with alcohol. They fill it up with possessions. They fill it up with entertainment. They fill it up with everything they can. But he's the only one. He's the living water. He's the bread of life. He's the only one that can satisfy, folks. And God's word says that he gives of himself freely. He gives of himself freely. Look at verse 17 of chapter 22. Chapter 22, verse 17. I want you to notice what the Bible says. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. That's my invitation this morning. If you don't know him, I'm inviting you to Jesus Christ. Amen. And you can go out of here, if you haven't trusted him before, you can go out of here today knowing that he's your Savior. He's able to save to the uttermost. If you'll come to him, he'll save you. He's never cast out a one. Amen. All right, Ginger, you and Les, come ahead.